But anyway, we had that discussion about we've been here before, and truly there is some merit to that. I've been here up here before and been here because, let's see. Neil's going to turn that on in just a second.
It's on.
Oh, it's on? Are we good? All right. Good to go? All right. That's great. There is some merit to that because, you know, you are here. And there's not very few people here that I don't know well. Even the visitors in Tennessee, we know you well. We watch your kids grow up. And we watch your families grow. And so everyone is glad to be here. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be able to speak to you. And I grew up in a time in the, you know, the late 50s and the 60s, when the subject of the Holy Spirit was kind of a subject that, as we've spoken over in the last few months about it, wasn't talked about a lot, because there was so much abuse of it by men who were trying to make gain from it. We didn't talk about it a lot, and we kind of put it on the back shelf, or I did, I don't know about you. But as I grew and I understood and I came to understand the Word of God, and I learned a lot about the Word of God. I learned this about salvation. I learned about God himself. I learned about his Son, and even about the Holy Spirit, about it was part of the Godhead. But yet, there was still that phobia from in the past where you didn't get into it a whole lot. And so, I guess a few months ago, we decided to ask David to teach a series on the Holy Spirit. And he did that. And it was a wonderful series. I mean, if you could have heard those things and been able to dig into them. And I ran across a lot of things that I'd never uncovered about the Holy Spirit. And not only some things that I had uncovered, but I had not took the opportunity to use the things that God had given me. And so this morning, I hope to be able to review a little, because there's so many folks that weren't here for that study, review a little bit about some of the things that we studied and some of the things that we looked at about the Holy Spirit. Far from being all of it, but enough that I can be able to get to the points at the end of the lesson, and we'll talk about do's and don'ts. And that's pretty much where I went. Yeah, I got there and I said, wow, look at this. This is amazing. I've not practiced this all my life, or I have practiced it in some fashion of ignorance, but I never practiced it thinking about God, thinking about his Spirit. And so this morning, that's what I would like to do. I thank you for your kindness and your presence. I got to get this stuff straightened out. This one first? Oh, a little. Ready to go?
Yeah.
Just hit the air. All right. Where have we been? We've been somewhere, especially this congregation, through the study of the Holy Spirit that we had been doing, and it really meant a lot to me. And so here are some of the things that I thought was important. We looked at the Holy Spirit in the Christian, and that was most important to me, was because, you know, you start thinking about it, you think about God the Father, Jesus the Son, and God the Spirit, and you talk about the Godhead, but yet there are some things that in relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit as Christians that we often overlook, that we don't go there. Like in my instance, because of the abuse that had been done for it in the past, and I didn't want anything to do with someone thinking that I thought those things. So I stayed away. I limited myself on one of the greatest blessings that God had given us because I was afraid. And so in Romans 5, we see that the Holy Spirit is given to us. He says, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't find it somewhere. It was given to us. And we can look in other scriptures supporting that, and it says that it was given to us by God. God gave us the Holy Spirit. And so we have this wonderful gift. Part of the Godhead. Can you imagine part of the Godhead is in you? Isn't that a wonderful thought? And it's a scary thought too. Because sometimes as we go through our lives, we don't want God around. I hope he's not looking. But you know, those type of things. But he is given to us by God. And in Romans 6:3-4, he says to us, Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is our obedience to him through faith, through we are baptized into him. And he talks to us about that baptism being a new birth. You know, you're buried with him into his death to arise to walk in something new. And then he goes on to say in Acts 2:37 and 38, we see that we are given that Holy Spirit by at birth. So what do you mean by at birth? He says, now when they heard that they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the people, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Christ, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So if baptism is a new birth, we're putting the old man away, we're putting the man of sin away, we have turned to God, and not only that, but when we are baptized and we arise in birth, a new birth, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit from God. And so now we have this gift of God in us. We have this gift of God, the Holy Spirit, working through us and in us. So what do we do with him? In Romans 8, he goes on to say in verse 16 and then 26 through 27, the Spirit of himself testifies of our spirit that we are children of God. In 26, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So now we start seeing a glimpse of why God gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in us. He helps us. God can have no part of sin. And we live in a world where we are, even if we're children of God, we have problems. And we face problems, and sometimes we don't do the right things. God has no part with that. But he's given us the Holy Spirit, who when we go to God and ask him forgiveness, the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit. Even though we have not been the greatest God, we are your children. And the Holy Spirit says with us, yes, Father, yes, God, he is one of yours. He can say that for us because we don't have that ability. And so we looked at all those things, and it's a powerful message. Even for us, sometimes little stiff-necked collar guys that want everything cut and dry. Nothing mysterious in my religion, nothing mysterious for me, but here, you know, in these places, it's very evident that the Holy Spirit plays a great part in our lives. And we need to be able to look and lay hold and search and find that and see what it, and that's what I hope this morning to be able to show you that I did, and hopefully I won't say anything wrong, and I'm not like Troy, don't jump up and start talking, I'll probably melt and go right in that thing back there. But I'll say my piece, and then afterwards you can tell me if I messed up. So, with those things in mind, let's move on. And before I leave that point about the bearing witness, the Holy Spirit bears witness and groans. Who does he bear witness to? I want to make that very clear. He's bearing witness to God for us. He groans to God for us, because of the lies that we often live, because of the ways that we are. We're human beings, and we have so many temptations and problems that come our way and come before us. And sometimes we make a little mistake. Sometimes we make a big mistake. But when we see those things and we repent and we pray to God, the Holy Spirit there is testifying. He's agreeing with us. Yes, God, this is one of your children. Listen to him and grant him grace and favor. Fruits of the Spirit. In Ephesians 5, 8 through 10, we see, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. The fruit comes from our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It says, walk with the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. In my translation, the word was light. Walk in the spirit of light. I looked up light. The exact same word is translated spirit, the Holy Spirit, in other places. So we don't have to worry about that. I think what the writer was doing, he's already mentioned light. Jesus is portrayed as light. The gospel is portrayed as light. And so he's saying the spirit of light, because of his work in providing the word of God, and because of his work in us. So he refers to him as the spirit of light. Fruit comes from our relationship with the Holy Spirit. When we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, exactly what does that mean? To me, that relationship is when we have been obedient to God, obedient to Christ. We have become his children. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We know his word, and we start walking a life in Christ, in God. We start doing the things that God would have us to do. And so when we're doing these things, this is also the relationship with the Holy Spirit, who did what? He revealed what God's mind is to us. God's mind is revealed to us so that we know how to walk as his children. So we have this relationship, and from this relationship comes fruit. You know, you plant a tree in the yard, and from the tree comes the fruit. The tree here is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And the fruit is because we are living according to the word of God, which he has been so instrumental into bringing into our lives. It's not plugged into our brain, but he has made it possible that we all can know what the word of God is. We can find it in the bookstores. We can find it on tape. Nowadays, there's no excuse for not knowing what God has said in the Bible. And not only that, you can find it in a numerous editions of different men who have had translated it, and we can bounce those things off of each other, and thereby enforcing our faith that this truly is what God says. So we have this relationship that comes from being in the Holy Spirit. In verse 9, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The fruits of the Spirit consist in everything that God has said for us to do, because that is what is good. God tells us how to be good. God tells us how to be righteous. God tells us everything that we need about the truth. And we have that through God's word, through the Bible. And we can find that. And not only that, we have it through teaching, that we can come together and be able to draw on each other, draw on some of the things that other men have studied and been able to show. And we can look and decide for ourselves, yes, truly, these are the things that God would have me to do. So as we start living those lives, we develop all these truths. And what does the world see? The world sees the fruit. They see the honesty. They see the purity. They see the truth. They see all the things that are good and all the things that we do according to his will. So note the translated same as spirit. We already talked about that. What is our part? We have a little part in all this. What is our part? Romans 8, 16, 26, we've read that. No doubt, without the Holy Spirit, there is no way we're able to approach God or even plead our case that we are his. So the Spirit does this, I don't even know how you would describe it, this great service for us in providing the relationship that we have with God. He makes it possible because of his work, because that he intercedes for us, because he groans for us. Without him, we could not have that relationship with God. So we have that great relationship with God, and he pleads our case. In Galatians 5, 1 through 25, which is the text, we finally got to the lesson. 5, 1 through 25, with the Holy Spirit, we do have a part. We have a part to play. The Holy Spirit is great as he is. Part of the Godhead. Holiness. All that we can imagine. And in him that we have this wonderful gift. With the Holy Spirit, we do have a part to play. And so we all need to understand what that part. Verses 5 through 6 demonstrates faith. A little side note. In the book of Galatians, the Galatians were thinking or were looking at going away from the teaching of the Apostle Paul and those who had converted them, and going to take on Judaism and start keeping of circumcision and holidays. And it was a great call. And Paul is writing this letter telling them, don't do that. Because if you do that, you know, it's bad. Don't do it. And we'll look at a little bit of that in a minute. But we won't be addressing the circumcision and those things. What we will be addressing is the principles that Paul uses in this particular chapter to tell them and show them that they were wrong. Don't do it. Don't do it, he says. Because these are the principles that don't do it is founded on. Verses 5 through 6, he says, for we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. When we look at God's Word, the Spirit, at which the Spirit has made possible for us to see, through the work of the, through His work, through the apostles' work, His work through the apostles, His work through the churches, His work through godly men, we can read and we understand what righteousness is. And so he says that your faith is demonstrated. We show our faith by the keeping of righteousness, by the keeping of God's word, by doing the things He would have us to do. Unseen confidence, our faith. We have confidence that God has made some promises. If you will do this and be my people, then you will receive this blessing of heaven. So we have confidence in that great thing. And so we want to know, what do I need to do? Just like on Acts 2, what do we need to do to be saved? And we are obedient to those things. And so as we become obedient to them and start fulfilling the word and the law of God, then we are fulfilling righteousness, which is His will. And of course, from that righteousness, as we just looked at a while ago, we can see and we demonstrate and are partakers of and demonstration of the fruits of the Spirit. Today's lesson, we're going to get from 5:16 through 24. Let me read that real quick. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh set its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, and factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. So we see in the reading there that, you know, we have our life is pretty much laid open. The text is encouraging them not to turn to the keeping of the law, which we're not going to get into that. But Paul's teaching would apply to anything that would pull us away from Christ. It doesn't have to be that we are tempted to try to be Jews and be obedient to the Jewish law. We could be obedient to the world and not do the things that God would have us to do, not be obedient to His truths, not be in unity with the church, not helping His church, the house of God, the body of Christ, not doing those things that it takes to make that a part of it. There is sacrifice to being a child of God. And part of that sacrifice, the greatest part of it, is setting the world aside. Not doing what's out there in the world so much, but you have to live in the world, but you're not part of the world. So it doesn't mean that we can't do anything that the world is doing. We can't be partakers of anything the world is doing. But the thing of it is that we need to be Christians in the middle of that, because we have the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And he tells them in a verse a little later on that if you do these kind of things, what's going to happen to you? You're a Christian. And if you start doing these things, keeping this law, keeping that law, or doing this or doing that, whatever it is, then you will be severed from Christ. That's the greatest text in the New Testament about being able to fall from grace. I have talked to people over the years several times about being able to be lost once you're saved, but never had I thought of this text. Isn't that amazing? That if you do this, which is outside of what we taught you to do, the apostles and those teachers who first taught you, if you go back to these things, you will be severed from Christ. That's pretty plain. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure that out. I figured it out. So, verse 4, turning to another desire of the flesh will sever you from Christ. Paul puts it in a nutshell. I asked Aubrey to print this off, and he said, oh, you got a nutshell in this sermon. And I said, yep, got a nutshell. Paul puts it in a nutshell for us. What we do, what are we supposed to do? And it's pretty simple. He says to us in verse 16 and 17, you may not do the things you want. That's pretty simple. The world, how we are made, how God made us. We have temptations, we have desires, we have all those things that guide us through this world. But he tells us, I don't want you to do those things. And so if we're going to be God's people, if we're going to be a child of God, we cannot do those things, because if we do those things, what happens? We are severed from Christ. And so our bodies, desires, influences of others will tempt us to follow them uncontrolled. One day is just a small thing. The next day it's a little bit more. And before long, it's more than than what we do for God. So we have to be controlled. We have to understand. We need to do the things that God would have us to do. We need to keep our bodies and desires and those influences, the influences, at bay or under control. We need to know that. We need not to do what we want to do sometimes. Sometimes I would really love to do that. But, you know, is that little small voice in the back of our head sometimes, is it the conscience that is trained by the keeping of the word? Or is it God's spirit, that little voice back there saying, don't do that. Don't do that. God will never force you to do anything. The Spirit is not in us to keep us from sinning by power. He's in us to keep us from sinning by the things he does us for God, the things he does in our heart, the things he makes available to us. If we need something, we need understanding. What does the New Testament say? Pray for it. If you need whatever you need, we need to pray for it. And sometimes we need to help each other with it. You might need to help me. I might need to help you. But whatever it is, those things we need to sometimes say, no, I'm not going to do that. Verse 16, the Spirit will be working in the believer. Don't do it. Follow God's word, but not by force. Things of the flesh. In verse 19, the deeds of the flesh, we read those. And all of those things, immorality, impurity. But then it gets down to some of the easier ones. Outburst. Do you ever outburst? I think I had a problem yesterday in my shop. Outburst. Anger. Those are things that have nothing to do with keeping of the law. That has to do with being people. Because we have all these passions and we have all these desires, and when things don't go our way, we have a tendency to be mad. I don't know who we're mad at, but we have a tendency to get mad, and we have these outbursts, we have this anger, and we deal with people in ways that God would not have us to deal with them. You can't win a soul to Christ after you chewed him up and spit him out. And that's what God is, that's what it's all about. It's our life in God. It's our life in God that we can live in such a way that his fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, is seen by people that want to know, how can I have that fruit? And that gives you an opportunity to teach them, not by forcing them, not by threatening, not by all those things that the world wants to do, not by how the Jews were doing to the Christians in this day and time, but by how the Holy Spirit, who is guiding us, would have us to do. He said, with all patience, with all diligence, and with all humility, teach and preach the Word of God. There's nothing in there about standing up there and blowing them out. Every once in a while, you would see a prophet or a preacher or even Jesus sometimes respond in a way that said, that's pretty harsh. But if you look at the whole thing, that response was always based on the opportunity that they had been patient, and they had tried, and they had done things, and it came to a point to where that those replies were necessary to be able to sit for others to see that what was happening was not how God would have it to be. The flesh is in opposition to doing the Holy Spirit's will, and that's God's will. Most of our desires, if we pursue them uncontrolled, we will end up against God. But if we pursue those, our desires and what we would like to do controlled by the Word of God, controlled by the Holy Spirit, then we will be pursuing them in a way that is no problem. God made us. He understands who we are. When we go to him in prayer and say, God, I'm having such a great problem with this, the Holy Spirit is right there saying, yes, he's one of yours and he's having this great problem. Let us help him. Please send him, grant him grace and mercy and patience. And that's mostly what we want. Here's the rest of the story. One more thing and we'll be done. Oh, running out of time. Is there more than not doing things we desire? Don't do the things that you want to do. Is there any more than that? Can you do any more than that? Well, Paul thought so. It's a little harder to dig out, but we're going to look at it and we're going to dig it out. He says in verse 17, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, that these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please, but you are led by the Spirit. In verse 24, it's a little harder. When you turn over there, he's saying the same thing, except he adds something to it. He says, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. He's saying the same thing. But here he says, it's not just don't do the things you want to. He says, I had to crucify the flesh. What does crucify mean? Kill. I had to kill the flesh. They crucified the Lord. So if you crucify the flesh, he's saying we need to kill the flesh. Or in other words, we need to stop letting have the influence on us. You can't kill it or you'd be killing yourself. It's part of you. But what he's saying is that you can't let it rule your life, that we have to let it be controlled. A little harder to see, but let's see what he's saying. In a nutshell, here's the nutshell. Verse 24, in addition to not doing what you want, doing the things you don't want to do. God, you told me I can't be involved in immorality. I shouldn't be angry. And I shouldn't be abusive. And I shouldn't do this. I'm not doing that, God. But God says there's something else. I've got something I want you to do in their place. And thus the Holy Spirit has delivered us the Word of God. And sometimes we need to do things that God would want us to do. If you have to crucify something, put it to death, how did you feel about it? If you had to kill it to get rid of it, what did you have to do? What was it to you? It was a lot. It was important. The only way you could fix it was to kill it. So it's very important. Just like he said before, don't do the things you want to do. So I had to kill it. And when I killed it, you wanted to do it. So if your desires were what you wanted, what were the things righteousness is asking us? What we don't want to do. We want to fulfill our desires. We don't want to do how God would have us to do. We don't want to be humble. We don't want to be gentle. We don't want to be patient, especially with each other. We don't want those things. We want to be able to be, I was made like this. I'm standing up for myself. God made me like this, and that's the way I'm going to be. Well, God made you like that probably for a reason. He's given you something that you need to crucify in order to be able to do his will, in order to be able to be pleasing to him, in order to be able to be called a child of God. And that's all of it in a nutshell. It's hard. It's hard to think about. But that's the points that I tried to get across. Not doing the things you want to, but not only that, doing the thing that God wants you to do over the things that you want to. Remember, these things of the Spirit were all teaching to promote unity. The only way that we as a group of God's people can live together in harmony and this church grow and you grow and everyone grow is to live by the Holy Spirit in you. Be able to do what he asks us to do. And so God gives us his Spirit as a gift to fulfill faith. You demonstrate your faith. You're obedient to God, and he gives you the Holy Spirit. The Spirit constantly affirms to us God as his children and contends with us to act like God's people in each other. God has given us his Holy Spirit, and he works with us. He contends with us that we might act like his people. When we take control of the flesh, we will bear the fruit of doing God's will. You will look like God. We will be made in his image of goodness, purity, and all those things. I appreciate your attention.